Happy Thursday, ladies and gentlemen. This is Rob, and we are back with episode number 274 of Shut Up and Grind. So if you're brand new to the show, we're all about overcoming obstacles, defying the odds, and telling guest stories from all over the world, how they got through whatever was holding them back in their lives to inspire you to push through whatever is holding you back in yours. So today we're going to be talking about health, fitness, wellness, and everything in between. We're going to talk about how to reinvent yourself when you've tried everything. And helping me have this conversation, he's been on this show a couple times before, and he is, I forgot the name of his program, very embarrassing, so I'll let him come in and tell you what he's created. Welcome back, Cootie Mac, to the show.
Hey, what's happening, Rob? Good to see you, brother.
I thought I wrote down the name of your program. I looked at my notebook like, oops.
Oh, it's no biggie, man. I've got the 6-week Super You, which is a program that helps people over the course of, it says 6 weeks, but it's actually the course of 12 weeks, 90 days, 3 months, whatever you want to call it, a quarter, to just turn whatever your stuck situation is into an unstuck situation and make that a lifestyle, not just a phase where you locked in with me and then you've whatever, fasted or gotten your fitness and nutrition together, got your mindset together, but something that actually gives you tools to walk that out as a lifestyle, not just as an era that you can look back on and say, yeah, I remember back in 2023, I locked in with Cootie and lost, you know, 15 pounds or, you know, started getting all my bucket list items checked off. And now I'm back to doing what I was doing before. Nah, that's not what that's about.
Bingo. Bingo. All right. So I actually want to dive deeper into that. But first, just give us a recap on your backstory and see all your albums behind you. You know, so just like take us through your transition from the music industry into what you're doing now.
Oh, man, the quickest story I could probably give you is that life has a way of just interrupting, man. And in these, every time life has presented me with an interruption, I would love to say that it was something where I just planned to make these amazing pivots from one point to the next. But a lot of times they were survival moves. They were survival mechanisms. They were things where it was sink or swim, and I had to figure it out. And, transitioning from the music industry to the fitness industry, although some would argue I'm still in the music biz because I still consult people and things of that nature. You know, once you, when you're a lifer like me, you always find yourself still connected or somebody still pulling on you. But that said, pivoting is a heck of a pivot, to quote one of my friends who's a DJ who just ran into me a couple months ago. He's like, dude, he's like, I see everything you're doing now. And I remember you as this rock star cat over here. And here you are now, you're pushing Kale. You went from pushing platinum records to pushing Kale. You know, so he's like, that's a heck of a pivot, is what he said. And I agree with him. It is a heck of a pivot. And that pivot, you know, came, I'll say the biggest catalyst, to be honest, was twofold. Number one, my pops went through a health incident that almost took him out. And he and I were both active people. You know, I guess in some ways I followed his lead in terms of just being active into my adulthood. But his nutrition had a lot left to be desired. It wasn't horrible. That's the thing. It wasn't like he was eating just totally out of whack. So I think he even thought, per things he had read as a layman, that, oh, yeah, I'm doing all right. But when the conditions started to strike, that was the thing that I zeroed in on, because I knew how active he was. So I zeroed in on his nutrition. And that's what we were able to collaborate on to help him get back to code. And, you know, just for anybody asking or wondering, he's fine now. He's still around. But I watched him flatline a couple of times, which is, you know, something that makes you sit still for a minute. Secondarily, when I was in the music business, one of the things I will say that I didn't like about it, and it's just it comes with the territory. So it wasn't something I complained about until it really was affecting me, was it's very subjective by nature and not objective by nature. I mean, you can think of your favorite artist, man. Or even if an artist that's not your favorite. Think of an artist that's not your favorite right now that's super popular. That artist is not your favorite. You don't like that artist, but that artist is popular. Why? Because somebody else thinks that they're great. But when you look up 5 years from now, that artist will be out of here. And it's not because that artist died. It's not because that artist stopped making music. Anything that we do, we should be better 5 years down the road doing it than we were when we first started, right? But that's not the case with a lot of artists. A lot of artists have been doing this for a minute, and you're like, yeah, I'm over it now. There was a vibe when you were doing it. It's no longer a vibe, so I'm out. And the same thing plays on the other side of the executive table. You know, if you're an exec or whatever the case may be, it's not always a meritocracy. Sometimes it's just like, hey, we're on something else now, or somebody else has a different idea, and that affects your professional career. And the lack of control over my professional life was something I just did not like. I just didn't sit. And so enter the convergence of those two situations and me having the know-how and studying further to figure out how to help somebody from a health perspective, and then synergizing that with the ability to actually help other people through my experiences. And then on top of that, have the autonomy as a business owner, as an entrepreneur, as a self-employed person, to control my schedule, to control, you know, whether or not I got a promotion or a raise, for lack of a better way to put it. And it was a marriage made in heaven for me.
So now I want to just tie in what everything that you just shared to just the average person in their careers, like if they're unfulfilled in their careers, because you're probably the 30th person that I've interviewed from the entertainment industry. And they've all said pretty much the same thing, you know, like they enjoyed doing their craft, but you know, the lack of the meritocracy, the lack of having control of your future was really what drove them into other careers. So
right.
What was it like for you to make those steps to go towards fitness?
Oh man, I mean, the thing about both music and fitness as careers for me, I tell people this all the time, I have friends who are really great at getting jobs, really great at getting hired. I know nothing about any of that stuff, to be honest. I have been fortunate in that whatever it is that I am into organically, whatever it is that I do, I've found a way to get paid to do it. And that was a lesson that my mother taught me a long time ago. She just told me, hey, look, if you figure out how to be the top three person named in whatever it is that you're into, you can get paid to do that. So somebody says, man, who's the best drummer? And they go, man, where's this dude John? Is this dude Robert? Is this dude Cootie? You can get paid to play drums. You know what I mean? And so my mother was, you know, was always about, you know, getting your education and having a solid vocation. But she was like, hey, if you're going to pursue something that you're passionate about, just become renowned in it, become excellent enough in it that people don't have to go too far down the line for options to choose you to do fill in the blank. So for me, that was the challenge, was to establish myself in the marketplace that honestly, while it has a lot of growth potential, it can on its face be very saturated. Fitness, you know, there's a bunch of people who are fitness trainers or influencers or whatever the case may be. But to rise through that and just become somebody who actually finds a niche or finds a corner that you can hook onto and that resonates with people to the level where when they think of that aspect of their pain point when it comes to their wellness, they think of you. That was the key. And honestly, it's no different than working records. You know, if everybody's making, there's a record dropping every week. I mean, you pull up your streaming platforms, whatever the case may be, you're gonna see new drops all the time. But the person who makes that song that catches you, that hook that catches you, that beat that catches you, the video that catches you, you know, the story that catches you, that's the one who starts to get an aggregation of a following, and then they start to rise up the charts. It's the same science.
Absolutely. All right, so let's talk about finding your path. Like when you're talking about reinventing yourself, you have to find a lane. Just like you were saying, you know, what niche are you going to pursue? Because there's a lot of fitness trainers out there, fitness coaches, wellness coaches, you know, health advisors, health consultants. So how did you narrow down to what you're doing now?
The first thing was to start. Just honestly, just start. You know, whether you're corporate, entrepreneur, start. Get an internship, just start rolling. Because the worst thing that can happen is sitting still and being paralyzed while you're analyzing. And if you start, there's no wrong answer when you start. Because if you start and you realize, this is not what I want to do. Like when I was in college, I swore when I was going to college, I was going to major in accounting. You know, and I was all prepped up for that, gearing towards that. And then a couple of things got in the way. Number one, Econ 201. I couldn't pass that class to save my life. And I've never failed a class in my entire life until I got up into that class. So that was one. It was a prerequisite. Another thing was when I took actual accounting, I understood it. I comprehended it. I did well in it. But it was boring. And I was like, this is what I'm going to do. I can't stand this for a semester. I got to do this for the rest of my life. But by stepping into it, I knew it. By stepping into it, I knew it. And then from there, somebody can give you direction. From there, you can tap into somebody who can say, okay, look, you advocate for yourself to this point. Let's evaluate what it is, what you like, what you don't like, what's working, what's not working. And then here's the way you can go. Here's something. Because, I mean, me becoming a communications major at the University of Virginia was a direct result of me expressing these same concerns to the dean of the business school. So I'm sitting with the dean of the business school, and the dean of the business school looks me in the face and goes, you know what, man, it's not that you want to major in business. You want to be a business owner. You're a boss. You don't want to be a bean counter. So this person whose job it is to advocate for her department was telling me, you know what, I see everything about you, but you're the kind of, you want to be an entrepreneur. And she told me that back then. And it took me decades before I actually realized it for myself and actualized it. But she told me back then, no, you're an owner. You're a boss. Like that's what you are. You're not, you know, because when I talked about why I wanted to get into business, it was honest. Honestly, I remember being in high school, taking a field trip to Wall Street. We went to where they were ringing the bell, stock exchange. Yeah. And I remember the bell rang and the place went nuts and everybody's buy, sell. And it was that crazy scene that you see, you know, in the movies. And I was enthralled by the energy. I was enthralled by the look, the fashion. I liked the way everybody was dressed up and had the briefcases and the wingtips and the paisley ties and boots. And when I stepped out, the Beamers and the Benzes and the power. And so when I asked, well, how do you get here? How do you become a stockbroker? It's like, oh, you got to be in finance or accounting. That's how I got in it. But really, it was the energy of being a boss, the energy of breaking and making deals. That's what it was. So so once that was highlighted to me, and then meanwhile, in my electives, I was beasting in, of all things, you know, public speaking. So she was like, dude, you can communicate. You write excellently. You speak excellently. So why don't you major in communications? Because you're smart. You're in this school. You're in this program. You're smart. So anything that you're taught, you already have the confidence that you can learn.
Yes.
How about just make sure you can express whatever's on your mind, written or orally? There's nothing you can't do. I remember that she said that to me, and I've carried that with me in my hip pocket ever since. So again, but I'm talking to the dean of the business school, lamenting the fact that I'm trying to figure out how to get into the business school. And the whole time she was telling me, you don't even need to be here. You'd be somewhere else. And as soon as I got to the communications department, all of a sudden my grades started soaring again. I went from being like an average student to being on the dean's list and, you know, pulled my GPA up in the whole nine. And I felt smart and I felt empowered. And here I am now using those same exact skills to talk to you and everybody who's watching and listening.
Exactly. I love it. So you said something that I think a lot of people are afraid to do. And it's, you ask, how do I get here? Right. And that's huge. I remember when I first got started into fitness, you know, I'm coming off of a restaurant management background. So, and, you know, I dropped out of college. So like, I don't have a degree in accounting or business management or any of that stuff. I just knew that I know how to make people believe in themselves. And so as I started dabbling into fitness, I just leaned into that. It's like, okay, I don't really know about marketing and branding, like, but I can learn that stuff. So let me just start getting some people together and getting them results. And I remember having a conversation with my mom, and she's like, how are you going to grow this? I said, I have no idea. I said, I'm just going to keep getting people results. They're going to refer people. Then at some point, someone's going to notice and they'll want to invest in me. And that's exactly how it happened. It took a couple years. I built up, I think it was like 115 clients just from word of mouth. And I think this is when Groupon and Living Social first came on the scene too. Like, so I did a couple deals with them, and like the business blew up like within 2 weeks. I went from having like 30 clients to 115. And then, you know, a couple of my clients, they're into business, they're investors. Like, they approached me about investing in the business, like just the way I said it was going to happen. I was like, I just leaned into what I knew. And then, you know, the right pieces will come to you, you know, to finish it off. But like I said, the first thing is when you said, you know, how do I get here? Right. I remember I went to a fitness conference and I was sitting in the pool with this woman who charges like 2.5 times what I do. And I was like, how are you charging that? Like, she's from Idaho. Like, it's not like she's from LA, Chicago, New York, right. Like these big markets. She's in some small town in Idaho charging these prices. And that was what I asked her. I was like, how do you charge that much? You know, so when you ask that question, like, how do I get here? How are you able to build upon what that answer was?
So, honestly, you know, we are our own best advocates, but sometimes we don't see all that we are. I just had this conversation with my biz consultant just 2 days ago, where he just reminded me. He said, "Dude, do you realize what you've done? Do you realize what you've pulled off? Do you realize how you took this from something to from nothing to something?" And again, taking it back to my music background, that when people would ask me, "How did you write a song?" I wish I could tell them, but it is an amazing thing when I take a step back and look at it from a macro lens, the fact that I can just have an idea that's just floating in the air and convert that into 4.5 minutes that might change somebody's life or change somebody's mood at least. And it's the same kind of thing in terms of getting there. It's sometimes you need somebody, you know, no matter what we think, I think it's really good to talk to somebody who's already blaze the trail successfully in the endeavors that you want to be in, because that person, just like how the dean of my business school, you know, did for me, she could say, "Hey, look," she gave me this dirty little secret. She said, "Let me tell you something, Cootie." I wasn't a business major myself. That blew my mind. I was like, "What do you mean? You're the head of the business school?" She said, "Yeah, I wasn't a business major. Matter of fact, she was a communications major." So I was a communications major. And then that's how she was able to walk me through how everything that I was currently doing really was a perfect track for me to be excelling in communications versus business. And so that would be the thing, is like asking that question, not of myself, of how can I get there, but asking somebody who knows, how, or just ask them how, and not to say that their path will be your path, but at least it offers a perspective. And like I said, when somebody's looking at you objectively and doesn't see all the kung fu that we put up in our own minds about why we can't. I'm good at seeing the obstacles. I'm great at seeing the obstacles and the things that will get in the way of my success. I am excellent at that. And it's cool when I'm doing that for other people, but when I'm doing it for myself, it's prohibitive. So having someone else say, "Hey, look, here's the doorway for what you're doing. All you need to do is this. All you need to do is that," you know? I mean, I was just talking about this morning. I had an issue with my phone. True story. I had an issue with my phone. One of the apps I was using for my 6-week Super U program to communicate, it just wasn't working. And it was in an abnormal way. It was just stonewalling me. It kept telling me to reset my settings. I go to the settings. The setting they were asking for wasn't even available. And for 30 minutes, I am about to just slam my laptop and my computer and just smash them to pieces. I'm furious. And then I employed a technique that I call the pause, where I just stopped, inhaled deeply for 7 seconds, held that breath for 4 seconds, exhaled for as long as I naturally could without pushing. And until the angst left me, I just kept doing it. Now I'm kind of used to doing it, so it's reflexive. So it really takes me about 1 or 2 breaths and I'm reset. When I reset, I was like, "Oh, this brand of computer and mobile technology, if you turn it off and turn it back on, usually, you're fine." So that reset, and I just boom, did a reset, turned it back on, and everything's back to normal. But I spent 30 minutes of my precious time just in frustration, and it's pushing everything about my day back 30 minutes, and I don't have that 30 minutes to spend. So I'm sitting there just wasting time and angst and all this fear, when all I had to do was just refer to something that would reset me. So refer to someone that will reset you. And I'll tell this to anybody who's listening. I mean, Rob is amazing, amazing. That's why I love doing this show. But if you can't get to him, reach out to me, because I've got a whole wealth of experiences. And if you just feel like you're just bouncing around inside your own head, I'll gladly talk to you and help you reframe and reset. But reframe and reset with somebody who's got your best interest at heart. And I promise you, that's the way to get from where you are to how do I get here? How do I get there? Because somebody will just show you an avenue that literally just greases the path completely. You'll be like, man, I was over here beating my head against the wall, and it was really that simple.
Yeah, like I tell people in fitness, that's what we do. You know, like people look at the weight loss and the new clothes and all the other stuff. But what we really do is we put them on a reset, because most people don't come to us because they're feeling great about themselves. Like most right. people are at some type of a low point, whether it's coming off a divorce, whether it's you just lost your job, or, you know, it's usually something that happened where you just, your health and fitness just got pushed to the back burner. So when people come to, like, I'd say probably 20 minutes of my consultation is all on mental conditioning. Cause it's like, if you're not mentally ready to do this, you're not going to do this. You're going to be here for 3 days and then you're going to go right back to your old habits again. So when you're meeting with people for the first time, how do you help begin that reset?
The way I help begin the reset is I ask them what their challenges are. And they'll give me, oh, I want to lose weight, da-da-da-da. And then once I get the challenge, the surface challenge, then I actually say, okay, let me ask a couple more leading questions, because typically, 90% of the time, like you said, when somebody decides that they need to make a change, the change is what they're going to tell you about. But the reason for that change is usually something way deeper than something esoteric, like I just want to have abs for the summer, or I just want to look good the next time my ex sees me. It's one of those things where getting to the root of that pain point is what I really specialize in. Because to your point, I specialize in helping people who are otherwise successful at everything else in life get their life and their mentality and their nutrition and their health together. And in that, the funny part about it is that's a pivot, you know, and something is driving that pivot. So people, and some of these people have been successful in doing these things for themselves in the past. Yep. You know, some of my best clients are people who come to me like, man, last year I lost 25 pounds, did this, and now I'm doing all the same stuff and it's just not working anymore. And usually that's because the impetus for that last weight loss or that last shift is different than the impetus is now. You know, sometimes it's just like I said, sometimes cats just like, man, I don't need to get this snapback body. I just had a baby. I'm not trying to look like I had a baby. Boom. Then they succeed in that. And that's no longer the story anymore. But they're unwell. And so getting to the root of what that thing is, that's how I help people pivot. Because I meet them there. And once I've locked in on that, even if they don't become clients, I'll be honest. You know, I'm giving a lot away here, but it's the truth. And I'm with you, so I'm going to tell you the truth. Once I lock into what your mission is, I feel obligated to help. Yes. You know, so it's not even a money thing anymore. It's not even like I want to charge you. I mean, not saying that. I mean, I still got to eat. So, I mean, well, yeah. Hopefully so. But I just know that when I come from the space of helping people, I have always been okay and taken care of materially, even if it's not from that person themselves. So I'm here to help. That's something I just like to reinforce every time I talk to people. Like, I'm absolutely here to help. I'm not here to hinder your progress. I'm here to aid your progress. And I'm here to celebrate your progress as we get there.
Yeah, no, it's funny when people tell me, they're like, oh, you're so hard on me and you're so this, you're so that. I was like, because you told me you want to accomplish XYZ. I said, that's why you paid me, right? So I'm helping you get to XYZ. So when you're coming at me with the excuses, I'm going to reinforce what the mission is. Right. Because you know, the mission doesn't care about your excuses. So like if you have to stay late at work, then you work out later. You know, if you're not a morning person, but 6 a.m. is the only time slot that's available, then you got to do what you got to do. You know, it's like when I first put early morning classes in, I wasn't feeling it. You know, like my business coach was like, you need something in the 5 o'clock hour. And I was like, ugh, like, you know, getting up at 6 is kicking my ass. You want me to get up at 5? But I was like, you know what? It's not about me. Let me put some on the schedule and see what happens. And the first class, I think I had 8 people that showed. Mm-hmm. The second one, I had 18. The third one, I had 28. and then it became my big, this is pre-COVID, but it was my biggest class was that 5 a.m. class. I was like, who would have thought? But because I was just worried about me. You know, and not thinking about what do they need. You know,
that's the key for people that are in help industries like ours. You know, you got it for anybody that's looking for people. like us, if not specifically us. You know, you want people who are there for you, not there for them. Because I've seen it all through my career. I've witnessed people, I won't even say names or institutions, but I've seen it where you can just tell these cats are just there for them. They're there to hear themselves yell at the client. Yes. They're there to hear themselves be like, I got this many clients doing this many people. They're here to tell the stories afterwards. Man, I had that client, you know, in a puddle of sweat. You know, I'm not here to destroy people. I'm not here to break them down. I'm here to elevate and help and empower them and meet them where they are. And then nothing is more gratifying than when they look back and when they start to have those visceral testimonials that come at you that they don't even realize they're testifying to you. They'll just tell you, man, I was on vacation. My kid was complaining. I just picked my kid up and put him over here. And I realized I had never picked my kid up like that in the last like year because I wasn't strong enough to. Yes. Or I got out of my chair the other day and I didn't make one groaning sound. I got out of my car and I didn't grab the hood, you know, and just 1, 2, 3 jump, you know, I just stepped out of my car. You know, these are, because I have one client that every time we train, she says something that I'm like, daggone, I need to record our sessions, because she says the most amazing testimonials and doesn't even realize that she's giving a testimonial every time. You know, so that's when it's rewarding, you know, because you're meeting them where they are and you're doing it for them. And when you do it for anybody who's from an entrepreneurial standpoint, if you're a business owner or you have a business idea, when your business idea actually serves your people, it absolutely will in return serve you on so many levels.
Absolutely. Yeah. So, you know, piggybacking on what you just said, I remember one of my clients, we had loops around the gym. And so she ran all the way around the loop without stopping. And she came back to the door, because I always stay in the doorway and I high five everybody as they come back in. And she looks at me and just started crying. And I was like, what's up? She's like, I ran all the way without stopping. Yes. You know, and she's like, thank you so much. I said, whoa. I said, don't thank me. I said, I provide the blueprint. Yeah. I said, you build the house.
There it is.
You know, I said, I provide the blueprint. There I said, so I'm not going to, you know, if something was to happen to me, you know, you can find another trainer, but you still have to put the work in. Yeah. I said, so yes, I'm there with the tough love and, you know, the diverse workouts and all the, but at the end of the day, you still have to do the work. Cause I had plenty of people who come to me, don't put in the work, and they end up quitting. Right. You know, it's right. Like, so that's not a reflection of me and my coaching. So I'm not going to take the full credit for the ones who get the results. Right. It's like, you know, yeah, I provide the platform and, you know, the advice and the nutritional guidance, all that other stuff. But at the end of the day, I'm not there when you're cooking. I'm not there when you're meal prepping. You know, I'm not there to control your portion sizes. You know, when you guys are out on your runs, I mean, sometimes I accompany them, but it's like, I'm not out there making sure you run the whole thing. Like, you push yourself to do this.
And that's the toughest part of the gig, man, is that, you know, people sometimes come to you with the expectation that, okay, I'm going to see you maybe 2 hours out of, my math is slow today, but, you know, out of what, 160 hours that are in the week or whatever, 168 hours out the week, I'm going to see you for two. And you gotta change my life. And it's like, bro, exactly. It don't work like that. Like, you gotta do some stuff on your own too. You gotta put the work in. So again, making it a lifestyle is something that when I created the 6-week Super You, I had that in mind. You know, when people are busy, short on time, you know, don't really get how the science of how it all comes together, you know, what could I do that effectively would move the needle and make it a lifestyle? So that every day you could do a little something to make yourself incrementally better.
Yes. Yeah. And like you were saying too, about the trainers who I call them ego trainers. Now, like, there's a difference between ego and confident.
Right.
Like when I'm competing, I got ego, like I'm out for blood. Right. But when I'm working with people, you know, I let the confidence shine through because they feed off of your energy.
Right.
You know? So like, if you're with someone who's unsure, then you're going to get that unsure vibe. But if you're with someone like now, you know, with this team I'm coaching, you know, like I told you, I'm very direct. I mean, again, you know, shut up and grind, right? Mm. It's like, but I'm very direct in my coaching style. Like, it's like, I'm not rude. I'm not mean or anything, but I just tell people what they need to hear. And with this team, like, they're already adapting. Like, they're already starting to say it themselves, you know, because I'm like, listen, I'm like, you don't have to beat them. They have to beat you. And I was like, when you adopt that mentality, your training is going to change. Your intensity is going to change. You know, it was like your whole mental performance is going to change when you flip it that way. It was like, you know, yeah, when I was a freshman, sophomore, you know, right around like the tail end of my sophomore going into my junior season is when I really realized that, because I was trying to catch this person. I was trying to catch that person. And that summer I was like, nope, next season, these mofos got to catch me.
Yeah.
And I went to work, and then everything. And that's when I flipped the switch from just being on the team to being a leader and top performer on the team.
You made a great point. And I remember when I first, and this is for people who may be interested in, say, becoming, you know, coaches of any sort, trainers of any sort. When I first was training as a rookie, I remember I would work out with my clients, and I had a heavy, heavy low, because I was new, so I wasn't earning a lot per session. So I had to make it up in bulk. So I'm training 10, 12 heads a day, and I'm working out with every one of them. And I remember this vet trainer was watching me. He watched me for about 2 weeks, and he pulled me aside and said, "Hey, man, you need to stop doing that." And I was like, "What do you mean?" You know, he's like, "Dude, that's unsustainable."
Yeah.
And I thought he was chumping me in terms of my ability. So I'm like, "Nah, I got this, dude." Da, da, da. He said, "No, I'm not even talking about that. What I'm saying is, if you are doing chin-ups and at any point in time you start to struggle, because you will, after doing them, you know, whatever, 10, 12 times over, you know, 10, 12 people, that 12th set, you start to get tired, you start to falter, and your client looks at you and starts to falter, they're going to falter. They need to look at you and see you as a pillar of steadiness. They need to see you as a pillar of consistency." And it's why I'm not saying that every single trainer has to be cut with a six pack and no wrinkles at 51. I'm not saying that, you know, it's my move, but I'm not saying that's what everybody's got to do. But what I am saying is this, you know, if I can't walk it, I won't talk it.
Yeah.
If it's a move that I can't execute, I'm not telling you to execute it. I don't know any other way than to model what it is, for better and for worse.
Yeah.
You know, mistakes and hiccups and then recovery. I don't know a better way to lead anyone than to be a model of that. Everybody doesn't believe in that. You know, some cats that just tell people to do something they know they can't do. You know, do 50 burpees and I'm watching like, bro, you can't even do 50. You know, but I'm somebody that's the way I rock. And what I learned when that person said that to me was that it was absolutely true. When I'm there as a steady standard, and the best coaches in any industry, you'll look at it and you'll be like, there's something about them that sets a standard. And matter of fact, the leaders of any sort that disappoint us the most are the ones who falter and don't seem as regal or confident or secure or knowledgeable when tested.
Yes.
So anybody that's doing it, I'll say, you know, because what I'll say is this: I never feel like I'm selling fitness. I still say this: I don't know how to sell.
Yeah,
I don't know how to sell at all. I've sold my program successfully. I don't know how to sell it. I just know how to speak from experience and model.
There it is. Like that's something I had to learn, you know, trying to flip that switch. And then once I realized, you know, people are coming to me in a certain state needing help, I have a product, a program, a service that can address their need. So like you were saying, you know, you sit down, you got to get to the heart of why they're there. You know, what, you know, why are you here? What do you want to accomplish? Why do you want to do that? How will that enhance your life? And all right, so this is what you want to do. This is what I have that can help you get there. And this is the price. What do you think? It's like, that's the whole sales pitch. Like, it's not like, you know, you're trying to sell them something that they don't want. You know, and I think a lot of times trainers are so focused on selling the facility, you know, like selling the facility. And I just go back to when I started training, I was training people in my spare bedroom in my house, my spare bedroom. And my clientele was mostly women. So I got women to respond to Craigslist ads to train with me in a spare bedroom of my house. right? Wow. And why? And why? Because the messaging was on point. Like, it wasn't about the training. It wasn't about the location. It was about the, these are the pain points, and my program can address those pain points. And that's what pulled them in. Too many times, people are like, we got the state of the art, this, and we got the brand new this. And those are all enhancements. But at the end of the day, people will train in an empty park if you can help them reach their goals.
Yeah, you're right. I saw, you know, COVID was a heck of a sifter on a lot of levels. Mm. And I remember when it hit, I pivoted to training virtually immediately. Yeah, COVID was also an era, was the first time I saw the internet just run out. Like usually you need something, you just go to the internet. The internet was just like, we ain't got it. And I was like, wow, you couldn't find a dumbbell, you couldn't find anything. So if you had a lot of trainers who were used to relying on the facilities that they trained in, relying on the equipment that was in the facilities that they trained in, and because of the Spartan way that I came into this game, and I came through a training gauntlet where it was just a bunch of alpha males and a bunch of territorial people, and I was a new kid on the block, and they were just like, man, you can't, don't touch the music, don't touch this weight bench, don't touch this. So I learned how to train with nothing, like a 2-pound ball and a washcloth, literally sometimes. And so all of that experience though added up to me being able to pivot immediately when COVID hit. Where even when people were asking me, or trainers were asking me, okay, I'm trying to train during COVID. Okay, I got my phone and I got Zoom, and how do I do it? And I'm explaining to them, well, you got to have, you know, some moves that they can do. Well, they don't have equipment. They don't need equipment. Well, how? And they would just ask these questions. I realized, okay, you're not even ready. So, and what I realized then also was that, because that's when I created 6-Week Super U, that's when I realized that what these people are buying into is me.
Exactly.
Is me. They're not buying into the weights. They're not buying into the facility. They're not buying into the equipment. They're buying into me. If I'm telling and modeling them how they can be successful and they're seeing the results, that's what it is. So again, anyone who's out there, you know, with trying to get from where you are to there, remember, you know, if you remember what your valuation is, remember what you're bringing to the table, remember what your product or idea is that is of help to somebody. And if you can't figure that out, again, don't hesitate to take that energy to somebody who you know, trust, or both. And like I said, I'm volunteering this. To anybody listening, I am volunteering it. You know, Rob will give you my information. Hit me up, DM me. I am volunteering just a no strings, you know, conversation. If it'll just help set you on the right track, because it's just what I do. I'm here to help. But finding out what it is that you have that makes you the solution.
Love it. All right, so give us some final words, and all of your contact info will be, it's in the description section already. All the thing, your Instagram, your website, and your Facebook page is all there in the description.
Yes, indeed. You know, final words I'd say is, you know, when you're struggling, when you're searching, when you feel like you're just floundering, stop for a second. Just stop everything. Oxygen is your number one fuel source. You could go days fasting without eating and survive. You can go a day or two without drinking. It's going to be painful. It's going to be nasty. It's going to be unhealthy, but you will live. You go a couple minutes without breathing, you're over.
Thanks.
So your primary fuel source is oxygen. When you feel kind of confused, stop everything you're doing and just breathe. Inhale for 6, 7, 8, 9 seconds. Hold that for about 3, 4 seconds. And just naturally exhale till all the air has left your body. Do that until that angst disappears. And you'll be amazed at how that, what I call the pause, how the pause will just help you reset, refocus, and then start to move forward from there. And like I said, I'm here to help. Hit me up, find me on socials, DM me, and let's have a conversation.
Love it.
And if you notice, if you can already tell from what we said that 6-Week Super U might be something you're interested in, go to 6weeksuperu.com, look at it for more information. And if you want to jump in that, mention this podcast, and I'll make sure I give you a really dope discount.
Love it. Awesome. Thank you very much for coming back again. It's always a great conversation. And I'm sure we're going to cross paths again, because, you know, we're friends.
We're boy, hey, man. Yeah, I thought we were friends last episode.
True. Yeah, this is great. So, like I said, I got to run because I got to go coach my crew, and I'll be in touch.
Tell me who your best 200 runner is.
I coach. Well, I mainly coach the jumpers. It's like I'll help out with the sprinters every now and then, but I focus on the high triple and the long.
Nice. Yeah. Okay. All right. Cool. Well, man, keep me posted because I love track and field. I love, you know, watching the young up and coming stars, young bunnies coming up. So just let me know, you know, if there's a way I can tune in or tap in virtually to see some of the meets, man.
All right. Will do. All right. Thanks, man. Have a great day.
Thank you. Be your best.
All right. Take care.
Peace.
You've been listening to Shut Up and Grind. We hope you've gotten some useful and practical information from this show. Robert has over 20 years experience pouring his knowledge and expertise at many events in the service and fitness industry, as well as secondary schools and universities. He has a true passion for helping others break through the barriers that are holding them back. To book Robert B. Foster to speak or to reach out, go to robertbfoster.com. Till next time, shut up and grind.